So we're going to dive into the feelings and needs, because this is sort of the heart of it. So, Kristen, you want to go through that?
Sure. So if you look at your feelings and needs side-by-side printout, it shows a list of some of the feelings that Marshall Rosenberg included on his feelings list and some of the needs that were included on that list. And the crux of Marshall Rosenberg's whole method is to have you connect your feelings to your needs. And that when we talk to other people, because we're all human and we all have the same needs, we can connect on that basis, that we're all going to have the same needs, and when they're met, we're going to feel joyful, and when those needs are not met, we're going to feel sad and disappointed and upset. So this is how you can communicate across all cultures, through anything, is to bring everything down to the needs and the feelings that arise out of them. So we're going to work on these first. And if you look under feelings, there are some of them that are like, you know, excited and happy, confused and frustrated. So both ends of things. Either your needs, when your needs are met, you feel good. And when your needs are not being met, you don't feel so good. So think about, if you feel thirsty, what's your need?
Liquids.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, okay.
Something to drink.
There's something to drink at any rate. So, yeah, you need water, something to drink. If you are hungry, what's your need?
Something to eat.
Something to eat. If you're tired, what do you need?
Rest.
Rest. And if your need for rest isn't being met, are you a happy, joyful person?
No.
Hardly.
Cranky.
People are going, she needs a nap. The same thing happens when we're hungry. You should see people go crazy for food.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the same thing, if our need for support isn't being met, we're going to feel cranky. So all of these are feelings that arise out of our needs being met or not. Now, the thing with feelings is to make sure that you don't get caught up telling somebody your thoughts. And that's a real easy trap to fall into, because in our language, we say things like, I feel like you should clean the kitchen. So that's not a feeling. That's my thought, that Paul should go clean the kitchen. So maybe I feel frustrated and I'm needing support. And then my strategy for getting that need met might be to have Paul go clean the kitchen, or ask him to at any rate. But it's not my actual feeling. Get that?
I got that. Mm-hmm. I'll be cleaning the kitchen later.
You'll be cleaning the kitchen. Okay. What we're going to do with the feelings and needs is ask the other person, are you feeling because you're needing? So if somebody walks up to me and says, I don't know, you're a bitch, then what I want to do is try to connect with this person's feelings and needs at the moment. And because that comment really doesn't tell you anything except that they're having a bad day. So I'm going to ask, are you feeling blank because you're needing blank? And let's use an example from when I was in the classroom. And a 17-year-old girl just came up to me out of the blue and said, you're such a bitch. So now I'm going to ask her, are you feeling... I just passed back papers, and they're all looking at their grades.
Oh, wait, one second here.
Huh?
Let me just interject one thing. So when you think about that earlier on, remember what we said, all communication is either what? An act of love.
Or a cry for help.
What was that?
Cry for help.
It's a cry for help. And the wonderful thing about Kristen's example, I just wanted to capture that. She heard it as a cry for help, and now she's going to further translate it into the feelings and needs. But the first translation is most people would have heard that as an attack and reacted, gotten defensive, sent the kid to the principal's office, all the rest of that. What was unique, and I think why Kristen's so embrace this work, is it was almost instinctive for her just to hear it as a cry for help.
That's powerful.
So back.
So now, what feeling do you think this poor girl had when she looked at her paper and saw a grade a lot lower than what, well, of course I didn't know that at that point, but what might I have guessed her feeling to be?
Upset.
Angry.
Angry, yeah. So I might have said, are you feeling angry? And then I'm going to connect it to a need. What was she needing? And you can look at your list there and see what you think.
She's needing, like, love, the comfort or...
Understanding.
Understanding.
Understanding, yeah.
And information?
Maybe clarity and information, yeah. And actually, that's exactly what it turned out to be. I had marked her essay a lot lower than I had marked another kid's, and she had read them both and couldn't see why hers was so much lower. And I reread it and looked at it, and she was right. I would totally, I don't know, maybe I was in a bad mood when I graded it. So yeah, she had a need for clarity. Why is this essay marked so much lower? How are we going to connect the feelings and the needs? If we looked at the situation of, Sobel, if we could use yours.
Sure.
When your coworker comes into a meeting and she's not got things ready, what can you guess her feelings to be?
Worry.
Oh, perhaps as my colleague has said, that it might be worry, that she might be nervous or scared.
Nervous, scared, worried, yeah. And what was
embarrassed.
Her, yeah.
Embarrassed.
And
yeah.
What her needs be?
Perhaps support or understanding?
Yeah, maybe. So you would ask her, so are you feeling worried because you're needing some support for getting these projects done?
Okay.
Just to connect. And at this point, nobody's saying anything's right or wrong, or that it was right or wrong that she not do the work. It's just to find out what's going on and to connect with her as a human being. Do you see how that would work?
Yes, though I'm as I hear that, I realize that using the word worry is a little too charged. Are you feeling some concern? I'm realizing I would want to make it a fairly neutral
word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The public
concern
could
would
be
probably be better, yeah.
Yeah.
Kristen, my question is that do people often, like if you guess wrong, I mean, we're guessing, right?
Exactly, we're guessing.
And if we guess wrong, will they correct us easily or
Oh, yes. It's amazing. People will very easily correct you. They'll be like, because it's such a sweet reaching out, especially when they know that they've just maybe done something that was not too nice.
Actually, I'm thinking that in this instance, what I might receive is defensiveness, which is why I'm thinking I'd have to use a neutral word. But then if there was defensiveness, I could then say, I could then move forward, as you say, and say, that's not what you're feeling. Could you let me know what you're feeling?
Sure, or you could guess again would be the better thing.
Yeah.
Feelings are so messy, and we are never taught to really express ourselves with our feelings. We're never taught that. So it's much easier if somebody asks, are you feeling sad because you're needing some empathy? And then they can listen to that and go, no, that's still not it either. So you keep offering until they can kind of latch on to something and go, yeah, that's it. That's where I'm at right now.
Does this work the same way? Kristen, it's Beth from Los Angeles. Does it work the same way if we feel that someone's got an upset with us and it hasn't been brought up?
That we could ask them? Sure. Especially if you think of like teenagers who seldom bring anything up, to be able to say, so I'm guessing when I see you quiet like that, I'm wondering if you're feeling a little discouraged because you're needing some support and respect from me.
I'm thinking of a client that would be over the phone.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not, that's being standoffish and not speaking up. so it would be the same kind of way. Are you feeling, in fact, I used the language, and I also want to declare that was really powerful last week, because I've been using the, I have the story that this is what's going on, and then people are like, oh, no, no, it's this. So,
yeah.
It's great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so, and I left a message saying, I have a story that you're upset, and I really want to talk about this. And so now I haven't gotten a call back yet, and I probably will tomorrow.
Right.
But I'm wondering if I've got someone that's not speaking up, and I've left that message that, you know, I want to have a dialogue. I have a story that I'm telling to myself that you're upset, and I really would like to talk about it. So now he's
exactly.
going to call back. And then in his calling back, in this example, would you say, then, are you feeling upset because you're needing, you know, I just kind of make up what it could be?
Exactly. Make up what it could be, and then he can either say yes or no to that.
And one thing to be very careful about in this scenario is not putting yourself in there. It's so tempting when we begin to say, are you feeling upset because I let you down? And it's like, it's easy for them to go, yeah, that's it, it's your fault, rather than, are you feeling upset because you're needing a different level of support, you're needing some understanding. You connect their feelings to their needs, it's much more empowering. And then what happens is you're not as worried about getting in the conversation because you're not feeling like crap. You know, oh, are you feeling awful because I did this to you? Well,
yeah.
Then it's about you anyway. It's not about them.
Oh, I see.
The whole thing with Kristen was teaching there is it's all about them. It's connecting them, their feelings to their needs. It's their life. And a lot of times what we do is we get in, it's like showing up at a car accident. And there's a person, I'm going to be graphic, you know, bloody, laying on the ground, broken legs, and you get out of the car and go, oh, my God, I'm so afraid of blood. Oh, I'm going to faint. I need some attention over here. Get me some oxygen. It's like, no, it's not about you. It's about them. So connect their feelings to their needs, not connecting them to you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, big time.
Okay.
I have a question. I have
go ahead.
Question or comment. Back a step on the woman who's talking about her colleague who shows up unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
That, and this is probably extremely obvious, but there needs to be sincerity in the question too. Like if we're just kind of rote going through the steps without truly having the feeling of concern and compassion and desire to connect with this person, as opposed to, I guess what I'm getting at is I can see even this lovely connection opportunity being distorted into a manipulation.
Yeah, totally.
People can use these tools to look like they're connecting, and that if you're not coming from an authentic place, you're not going to get the desired results.
Yes, thank you.
Even if you are, you may not get the desired results.
That's true. That's true too. But I've read the nonviolent communication book, and there's the exercise where he's talking to the woman, or not the exercise. He's giving the example of talking to the woman. Oh God, it was like a Planned Parenthood clinic or something, and there was some example where he just kept fishing and fishing and fishing, and it took like 15 minutes for the woman to actually settle down and speak to him.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely, you have to be able to stick to it and keep your own feathers out of the way, or keep your feathers from being ruffled in the first place.
Yeah.
And the other, the desired result here of in using this is not about getting your way.
Right.
When I'm using this with Kristen and she's using it with me, it's trying to find a way that both of our needs get met. And she has to understand that her needs are as important to me as mine are. And then everything else flows. As soon as she understands that I'm not going to try to get my needs met at the expense of hers, then we have that heartfelt connection. And it almost doesn't matter that you follow the exact formula. The formula we're giving you is like training wheels to get you going, but there's many different ways to create that heartfelt connection. The purpose is to create the connection. The system is just a system. It's the most reliable one and the best one I've ever found, so I use it regularly. But understand that the four steps are not the nonviolent communication. That's the connection you create when your heart is open to that other human being and you really care about them getting their needs met. So you brought up a really important point.
Thank you.